tuning in to The Queer Truth, a podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC. And I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. What's up?
All the things are up. Everything is up.
Everything's up?
Yes. You know, I had to tighten up my game. Like Trick Daddy said.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Are we starting there?
Now my game is so tight. My game is so tight now.
Okay. So I guess that's where we're starting, people. Black women under attack this week, as we so often are. Trick Daddy, a Miami rapper from my hood. A Miami rapper who hasn't been relevant since 1998. I don't know. Only talks about Dade County. Got showed up by one of my favorite female rappers, Trina. Trina's always talking about the smell of her pussy. Anyway, let me stay focused.
I don't know.
It smells, she says it smells like all kinds of things. She mean listing perfumes. So Trick Daddy felt the need to go on Instagram and tell Black women about themselves, how they need to tighten up if they want to stay in the game, because basically white and Spanish hoes, not even Latinas, no, white and Spanish hoes, if they learn how to fry chicken, then our gig is up, basically. That's all it's going to take, you know. There are a lot of obvious things that are wrong with this, but this is a person who I would just like to point out had to file for bankruptcy in 2015. He has back taxes. He has about $50,000 in unpaid child support. He is also struggling with lupus, which is, well, it's an autoimmune, very serious medical condition. And he made the statement that he's figured it out. Laced marijuana and alcohol will be his form of treatment. Seems to be doing okay.
He is so small. He needs medical attention.
He does need medical attention. And that's no laughing matter. But he, for some reason, I mean, I would quote the whole thing, but because it is just rambling nonsense of a potty mouth, I won't bother. But he basically, like I said, he says these Spanish and white hoes are very spiffy. Spiffy.
Because he's in 1942. They're a spiffy gal.
They're spiffy. And, you know, y'all Black hoes better tighten up. So, you know, he's calling them out saying we're getting our asses and our titties done and paying $150 to get our makeup done to go to the local club. Well, obviously you going to the local club too. So what's the issue? Why does this continue to happen that people like Trick Daddy need to attack Black women? His name, Trick Daddy, really does. I mean, we could start there, right? But what is it about? How does he think that we're even checking for him? For real, for real.
You know, it's always the same sort of guy that's like, I would never date a Black woman, or has like a dissertation length critique about Black women that you're just like, but who's checking for you, boo? Like, nobody. But they get so much platform. Aliana Van Zandt also gave them platform to a bunch of Black guys that would never date Black women. Anything but, basically, is what they would date. And they had all kinds of things to say. But I feel like we really need to return the gaze. Like, who are these men?
Right.
Who are these men? Because I don't know Black women that need any of those kinds of men in their lives.
I mean, first of all, it's not a new thing to try to pit Black women against every other ethnicity of woman.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard that basically since we were brought over as slaves to the country, we've been pitted against every other woman. And maybe even before then, I'm not sure. But there's so much that has been positive about Black women this year, from, you know, the hashtag, which isn't my favorite, to just breaking records at the Olympics, doing it in entertainment and music. There was nothing that happened this week that was particular or special. Yet he had to go on Instagram. Maybe he was just trying to keep himself relevant on our backs, as always, because everyone did go in on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He did, mm-hmm, you know, garner a lot of attention with it.
Right. So now people are talking about Trick Daddy and everyone's like, Trick who? Right. People got to Google him for the first time ever in like 10 years.
They'll Google him and they'll find his numerous arrests for stupid shit, like pulling a gun on somebody at a basketball game. Or what else did I find? Getting in a fight at a strip club.
Well, I mean, I would like to say that Trick Daddy's not representative of Black men, but the Black men that I have known that have tried to put me down specifically because I'm a dark-skinned Black woman, even though I'm fine as hell, have always been cut from a very raggedy cloth. They're not. and it's there's something about that, that they need that put down to sort of bolster themselves up and make themselves feel better. And they really feed off of white approval. They feed off of feeding their own internalized oppression. It's really sad, actually, someone like Trick Daddy, because at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be women in his community, probably his family, that end up taking care of him when that medicine he's taking takes its toll, as it looks like it probably already has. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like a sick old man, and I doubt that someone Spanish or white is taking care of him. I doubt it.
And again, it's about, you know, what is your image of women in general, right? Mm-hmm. That you think it boils down to looks and being able to cook fried chicken. Women, Black women specifically, are what, the highest educated in the U.S.? And are the fastest growing population of entrepreneurs in the U.S. So I really think that we might be interested in other things. Frying chicken is a quality that I appreciate. I am able to fry chicken myself. Fried chicken and waffles is one of my favorite meals. But like, what are you saying about women if like their whole value to you? Because he says we will be useless, right?
Right.
So like their whole value is based on looks and cooking qualifications.
Right. I mean, there's some men that would put ass in there, right? They if someone who is lighter has the same, you know, if you can get a Kim Kardashian, why would you have, right, a Black version of her, a China or something like that?
Ooh, let me tell you though. Mm-hmm. Did you see that interview? Well, actually, I didn't see the interview. I just saw the meme of when Kim Kardashian was asked about her talents. So apparently she was on some show. I didn't bother watching it. You can go to many blogs and see how she answered. But there's this face that she makes when she's asked about her talents. It's like, oh my God, I have to keep a straight face. I'm being asked about my talents and I don't have any. And so basically the meme freezes that face and then like has this great music playing and cuts to Ray J. Yes. I'm sorry. Anyway, speaking of women's talents and qualifications. So in other news, I really didn't want to give this any space, but since so many people were talking about it, I felt like we needed to talk about it because another Black man failed Black women this week. His name is Jay-Z. And Jay-Z failed Black women by allowing Amy Schumer to post a parody of Get Information. Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer call it Get Information. And it was posted exclusively to Tidal. Now, we all know that Jay-Z is one of the owners of Tidal. And so that's why I'm saying he failed Black women, because obviously she had to get rights to use the song. She had to get rights to make this parody. And then it's posted on Tidal. And I'm just baffled because, one, I honestly don't get it. She is, I guess, supposed to be dressed as white trash. She's in what is meant to look like a swamp or a jungle. I'm not sure. Goldie Hawn looks a hot mess. And I guess they feel like it's okay what they did because they have people like Wanda Sykes in the video and Raven Goodwin, who you might know from being Mary Jane. And so it's kind of like, I know that she's doing promotion for a new film that's coming up, and I know Goldie Hawn and Wanda Sykes are in the film, but the video itself, the supposed parody, makes absolutely no sense. But it is especially offensive in consideration of the fact that Formation was kind of, well, first of all, it was a huge hit. We've discussed it on the show earlier this year. We don't have to go into it. But it was also an ode to Black people, to Black love, and speaking out against police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this parody is, it's, I don't get it.
Amy Schumer is so problematic on so many levels, and we know this, right? She is white feminism's mascot. She and cheerleader, right? Like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing all of the things. At the end of the day, part of the equivalence she makes is Black people, white trash. That's part of the equivalence that she makes visually in the video. which becomes really problematic for me. Another thing that she does is this kind of like trivialization of all of the lyrics, because even if you just wanted to poke fun at like the bad girl aesthetics that were happening there in the video, those are lyrics that you as a white woman should not be standing behind. You know, I love my Negro nose and baby. I mean, like, what are you doing right now? So it was really, and she mouths most of the lyrics that should be said too. So it's not like just, okay, she's just dancing to disembodied lyrics. She uses the original sounds, the original music, the original score. It's really whack. And she has a history of racist jokes.
Yeah, let me just read out a few of those. So there was a tweet that someone pulled up all the way back from April 4th, 2010. Ooh, yes.
Someone went deep in a Twitter zone.
Quote, "My Asian friend Kim is really excited. She just met a great guy that looks just like her dad and her mom. And never mind." End quote. So, you know, playing on this stereotype that all Asians look alike, only to the white eye. Then she said once, she suggested on the 2015 MTV Video Awards that Latina women were crazy. She also made a joke one time saying she used to date Hispanic guys, but now prefers consensual, right? Playing on the whole Hispanic guys are predators. So this isn't new. We've talked about what her and her buddy Lena discussed in conversation just recently. It's not new, but what, again, for me, what is key this in this situation, there is someone pretty high up and pretty close to Beyonce who let it happen. And that's what I don't understand.
I'd really have to see some job titles at this point, because
but like I said, the music, someone did let her use
someone
the music.
Someone did green light that movie. It could have been Beyonce. Now, granted, you know, usually when you green light music, they don't go through the trouble of fleshing out the entire concept before you green light it. First, they get the green light and then they go do what they do. And so there probably was some thinking around like, she's a pretty respectable comic who wants to do yay woman stuff and go do you. So I doubt very seriously that before they greenlit the music, there was this whole show us exactly what you're going to do thing. And it probably was some boardroom talk about celebrating something, something. But it wasn't anything like looked like the finished product. And this is a exercise in how creative processes fail. This is how they fail, because there's this point at which people get at where they're so big that, I mean, there had to be a cameraman, a makeup lady, a somebody that was looking at this happen and said, yo, no, y'all know, just know.
But, you know, someone like Wanda Sykes, right? Black queer woman married to a French woman. Yes. But Black queer woman, nonetheless, does really more for, I'd say, her LGBTQ politics than for Black politics, but has made some clear remarks time and again. As the White House correspondent dinner host, she made some great remarks at that time, at least on racial politics in the U.S. So it's not that she is all the way asleep. I don't know that she's all the way woke, but her eyes are not all the way closed. And I think that what happens when you have someone like her on board is it gives you permission, right?
Yeah, there's definitely this sense that you have this kind of racial conscience who is participating in it with you. But from what I see at SNL, and this is kind of coming from the brand of comedy that Wanda Sykes is coming from, this kind of SNL comedy. They just did a Jeopardy skit with Tom Hanks where...
Wanda Sykes wasn't a part of that, though.
No. I'm talking about this kind of comedy, okay. Right?
You didn't like the Jeopardy skit?
So my whole thing about the Black Jeopardy, which is what it's called, Black right. Jeopardy, is that they talk about stuff that I don't really feel like they have that much familiarity with.
Okay.
These are middle-class Black people. These are not...
But Leslie...
Wait a second. Leslie. They are not people from the Deep South for the most part. They are not people... So there's this sense of like, it's Black Jeopardy, but it's only one kind of Black.
Yes.
It's only one kind of Black. So in Black Jeopardy, for example, they will make a joke about they want to take out money for your 401k. But what you gonna say? And then somebody would be like, you better give me that money so I could buy me some scratch off lotto tickets.
Right.
Right. That is a type of black person. I'm not saying that person doesn't exist. I'm just saying
that person exists quite universally in the States. But OK. But yes.
Right.
That particular example.
Every state, they exist in every city. Let's be clear.
Right.
Of course they exist. I'm not saying they don't exist.
No, no. I'm saying it's not. That particular example is a great example because that's not particular to race in the States. That's particular to class.
Right. The thing, though, is that so all three of y'all, the host and the two contestants, all three of y'all need to cash in 401k for scratch off lotto. All of y'all.
Right.
The lack of the singularity of this, like the ha 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 blackness is something that Wanda also participates in.
Absolutely.
And has participated in. And I think that's where they lose a lot of any kind of street cred in terms of being a representative comedian.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is I don't like Amy Schumer. I never liked her. I don't agree with most of the things that she says. So at this point, I'm not really sure that it's worth giving her so much attention on social media, because, of course, what did she go and do with that attention? She posted an Instagram picture and quoted, of course, Beyonce, "You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation." And then, and this is why I say there's some shared responsibility, goes on to write, "Thanks for the exclusive release title." So she knows what she's doing there. It's a very conscious decision to use a Beyonce quote and then point out the fact that this is on title. And she also called her parody a tribute. All love and women inspiring each other.
Yeah, this is why, you know, when a revolution comes, I think black women are going to be in a very precarious position because we're caught between Trick Daddy and Amy Schumer, right? Let's be real. Like, we're caught in between a bunch of Trick Daddies on one end and a bunch of Amy Schumers on the other end. And it's like, so either you're going to malign me for my womanhood or you're going to malign me for my race. Either or.
In our second segment, you've been waiting for so long, and now I'm going to give it to you. In a different way, though. In a different way. Today, I want to talk about, we have U.S. elections coming up in just a little over a week and a half. We're going to talk about one very key aspect of it. What does it mean to vote in this election as a Black woman, as a Black queer woman? What does the vote mean? So I'd like to just go through a few things. Alicia Garza, Black queer woman, has been very clear that she thinks it's important for people to vote. In one interview, she spoke, and I quote, "There are Black people who have made the decision not to vote this year. And while that's not a choice I'm making, I can certainly understand why people decide to make that choice. The Democratic Party has a lot of work to do to restore the trust that it's lost. However, for us to seize the power that exists within that dissatisfaction, it means we have to direct it towards something. Non-participation is a viable strategy in some contexts, but in my opinion, not this one. We need to build a different and viable alternative, and in the meantime, we can direct our energy towards jamming the gears of power. Non-participation doesn't allow us to do that. It just creates more room for the forces that we don't want to win to win. We should also remember that there are state and local elections that are happening at the same time, and those matter," end quote. And I thought that was an interesting point. Another prominent Black queer woman who on one website is listed as Black queer, but on her Twitter is listed as Black lesbian, Charlene Carruthers, who leads BYT 100, the Black Youth Project. She, in a panel, I believe last year, was very clear that she doesn't think voting is necessary. She thinks it can be a very radical act to not vote. However, I was quite pleased and shocked to find just about a week ago, she wrote or she tweeted, "If you're eligible to vote, vote. Just please don't make it the last thing you do. Give elected officials hell if they don't do what's right." And then, of course, there was Angela Davis, who is a Black woman who's been a part of the resistance for a long time, who back in September already was giving a speech at a conference at the University of Texas in Austin. And she said that she is not so narcissistic to say that she won't vote for Hillary Clinton. So where do you stand on the matter? Have you received your absentee ballot? Will you be voting? The moment of truth. The moment of truth.
I am going to get real white right now and say I will not choose not to disclose. White people don't never talk about these choices.
No. You have to say, no, don't get white. If you're going to do that, please be Dave Chappelle and be like, I'll plead the fifth.
I'll plead all of the fifths. I plead the fourth,
too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5.
So I won't talk about my personal is political, but what I will say is that I respect a spectrum of opinions on this. I have some really highly educated friends that have a great articulation of why they are not voting, and I respect them for it. I have... Would you say? Yes. Yeah. A lot of people find that very problematic, especially with this election. I will say this. My very first election I was able to vote in was the Gore-Bush election, where even though Gore got the majority of votes, he did not get the presidency because of shenanigans and craziness, right? Like, so, and nonsense. It was very eye-opening, so to speak, in the sense of there's a lot of talk in this election from a candidate about rigged elections and something like that. And I think that the way that the things have been grandfathered in, including the way that the electoral college is set up, mm-hmm. is really disenfranchising for people. Mm-hmm. Not to mention there have been some laws put in place recently and introduced and struck down by courts whose sole intent was to disenfranchise people that weren't voting the way that the lawmakers wanted them to vote. That said, I don't know. I think that I also really appreciate that people go out there and they vote and they do what they feel is right.
But the thing is, what most people don't understand, who may be living outside of the U.S. and listening to this, there's a lot more at stake than simply the president of the United States, right?
So there's elections.
82 million Americans live in states in which marijuana legalization is on the ballot this year, for example. Over 21 million live in states that could vote to increase the minimum wage. Huge issue right now. 50 million residents will have the chance to decide on additional gun control regulations. And that's just to name a few. Not to mention you're voting for judges, because the fucked up system that we have allows you to vote for judges. You're voting for district attorneys. You're voting for state attorneys. You're voting for governors. You're voting even for people who have a lot to say about the education system. In Georgia, for example, there is a lot on the ticket right now concerning your child's education. I see a lot of people from the Atlanta area posting currently because there's so much at stake in their election. So it's not just about, you know, Trump versus Clinton. There are a lot of things that will affect people more directly than that vote will. And so when you don't go to vote for the president because you are annoyed and have every right to be with this very long and tedious process that we've had to endure over the last 2 years, you're missing a lot of other opportunities. And that's what I think people forget about. State and local elections are happening on this ballot.
Especially with regards to the prosecutors, because the prosecutors have been in large part responsible for the fact that police killings of Black people in the states go unprosecuted and without any consequence. And the prosecutors that do bring these cases forward receive a lot of retribution in the, for example, the case of the Black prosecutor in Baltimore that tried to take action on the Freddie Gray killing. So I hear all of what you're saying. I feel like for those that are not voting, they're looking at a very, very, very big picture that feels overwhelming. It feels like insulting to their intelligence. And I totally get that. And I understand why they would choose to abstain. I also understand why people are extremely, extremely engaged. I think that there are some systemic things that the people that choose not to vote feel negate the effect of their vote. And I feel that there are forces in place that try to make, even exacerbate those systemic things. Otherwise, why would you take away early voting places or try to make it so that people need a photo ID to vote and all the things that are happening in terms of disenfranchisement of voters in the United States? So I sort of see both sides of this coin. The Gemini in me is very, very deep on this one. Very deep.
I find you quite tame considering you wanted to talk about this for so long. And now you have this opportunity. And you're like, I'm going to choose to have a very weighted position today.
Very weighted position today. Yes, because people get in their feelings. Like, this is one thing where I have, like, understood the wisdom of white people, right? Like, because I don't always get that wisdom, but sometimes the wisdom is very deep. And the wisdom of, like, being like, well, maybe, I don't know, right? Like, because when you get into it, people get in their feelings. They feel like, you know, I mean, I will say this. I did get in my feelings the other day when someone who I've known from my past, a white man who was and is a self-described anarchist / radical leftist, what, because he couldn't get Bernie, was considering Trump. That did put me in my feelings, because I'm like, if you are going to go to the polls, don't go to the polls and do some foolishness. Right. Don't think that the polls are a place where, you know,
you can have a tantrum.
Right. Like, what are you thinking about right now? And your tantrum could end up with people dead.
Right. Well, one last question, which is something that comes up often, especially if you look at any of the major Black publications, Black media outlets like Essence or The Root or, you know, whatever they may be called. There is a long history of people fighting for the right for women to vote, for Black people to vote, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is it not disrespectful to not vote, to not honor the work and the lives lost and so much more? You know, we have people in Congress today who had their skulls fractured marching in Selma to get us this right to vote.
I think that rights are just that. They're rights. They are not obligations. Right. Because this happens with feminism, too. Yeah, women have the right to work. But, you know, if you look at a at-home mom and you say, well, you have to work because now you have the right to work, that then becomes the problem. People have the right now to choose. Mm-hmm. You can go to the polls and do that. But if you choose to abstain for whatever reason you're choosing to abstain, that is also your right. Rights are not obligations.
In our third segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to?
Well, tonight is my premieres night where somehow 48 people are going to fit in my house.
What? 48 people have reserved?
No, it's not that many. It's okay. Like 12 with like a 6 maybe.
I've been in the crib with that many people. You'll be out.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay. It'll be totally fine.
So watching the three. What are you watching again?
So we are watching Luke Cage. We are watching Queen Sugar and Atlanta.
Amazing.
So, you know, the kid, my kid, who is 9, was talking about, I'm trying to watch Luke Cage.
No.
And I was like, I can't. And then, oh my gosh, my heart came out my mouth when we were talking about Halloween costumes. And he goes, I want to go as Luke Cage. So you want to wear like a bullet ridden hoodie? My little butt, like, no.
Well, he obviously doesn't understand all of the facets and implications, but it's cute. He, you know, you have to say he's a big comic fan. He loves Marvel. Yeah. It makes sense. Let him go as Black Panther instead.
You know what he's doing?
No.
Finn from Star Wars.
That's great.
He loves John Boyega.
I love John Boyega. When I saw him get all Peckham and South.
I also am a fan of the dude. Like, how did they, I was saying, did they grow him in a lab? He's just likable.
No.
He is so likable. Like, usually when, you know, you see a fresh face and you get all excited. Right. And then you see them wearing, like, pinstripes and polka dots. You're like, no, forget it. But not John. John is awesome. So that is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that is happening in Vienna is called Afrophobia.
Oh.
Part two, the recognition. And Afrophobia is a discussion. They have a discussion part, panel part, art performance. A lot of amazing Black artists that I know are participating in it. And I'd like to read the description. 3 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly proclaimed 2015 to 2024 as the International Decade for People of African Descent, with the chosen theme, People of African Descent, Recognition, Justice, and Development. In 2015, the European Network Against Racism published the Afrophobia Shadow Report, which pointed out that proper data on people with African descent living in Austria are still missing. A real barrier to conduct census on Afrophobia. Y'all, we're laughing over here because there was a grammatical mistake.
I'm confused, but...
Okay. It didn't come from me. I'm just reading. Mm-hmm. And the grammatical mistakes go on. So I'm paraphrasing.
Please paraphrase. Let's get it with it. What is it?
Paraphrase a little bit. Mm-hmm. So basically, what they're saying is that the discrimination against Black people is specific. Racism and xenophobia and nationalism often get conflated in the European context, right? So there's definitely the sense of there's a lot going on in the UK with Brexit against other European people of Polish that are from Poland. It's really serious. There have been violent attacks. What people are saying about those attacks is that's racism.
Just
instead
false.
Of right, instead of saying that's xenophobia or that's nationalism, right? Mm-hmm. Like which it is. What they're talking about in this report is that because of white supremacy, Black people are in a particular and unique position wherever they go in the world. And that includes Europe, even though I know a lot of Black Americans that have a lot of European James Baldwin and Nina Simone fantasies. Right? Like, a lot of fantasies about Europe. But being in Europe also puts us in this unique position, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Afrophobia is going to include all this art, singing, panel discussions. I'm missing it. I'll be in Scotland while this is happening. This is happening on November the 3rd at the Press Club Concordia, and I'm not there. And I'm also really concerned about a panel discussion that looks very white. But I really would like for people to go out and support the Black artists that have chosen to participate in this.
Thank you for asking. So I am quite excited about the fact that, first of all, and the funny thing is, I'm not a huge Tyler Perry fan, but I do actually want to see the new Madea Halloween movie. And it was number one at the box office on the weekend. I think it made something like, it was a lot of money. It was either 2017 or 20 million, 21.6, I think, $21.6 million at the box office over the opening weekend. And it has to be said that there are something like 1500 plus cinemas that he cannot get in because they are in the white suburbs and they refuse to have his films. And he's still number one before James Reacher. How about that?
That is on
Jack Reacher. I think
Jack 1500 Reacher. Jack Reacher. He could be Jane. that Jack Reacher is on 1500 more screens than Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry's boo.
Yeah.
1500 more screens, mm-hmm. and I'm still making bank like you. That's cray.
That is cray. So one of my closest friends has already seen it. I knew she's the one who introduced me to Tyler Perry. She literally owns all of his plays on a DVD. So she's already gone to see it. She snuck out while the kids were at school. She said it was hilarious. So I hope to see that just because I want to support it. I want to support Tyler Perry. He does a lot to support the community. I have a lot of people in Atlanta who say great things about him. So I'm excited for him that that's going so well. Also, on Sunday, I'll be going to the second installment of something called Hair Today, Hair Tomorrow. It is held at a DIY space in London, South London in Peckham. And it's basically like it's a celebration of groups and individuals, and they've kind of changed the structure a little bit. It used to be a bit more gendered. It used to be a bit more specific. Seems like we've gone to a rainbow policy. That's okay. But it is organized by someone who's Black and queer, and it is supposed to be a safer space for those of us who identify as, QDB POC. And I'll be hosting some mindfulness workshops there. Someone who works with me will be hosting some yoga workshops, and it'll just be a nice place to come together. There's a great group of people, two people who run what they call the Black Sheep. It's a Black run vegan catering service. They will be there. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
That makes me happy.
Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/thequeertruth, if you'd like to donate a dollar or two to help us stay afloat. Until next time, peace out.